Hello everyone, and thank you for joining this podcast where we'll be talking about the truth about bullies and bullying. My name is Lucy Good and I am the founder of Beanstalk, an online space dedicated to supporting and inspiring single mums from all walks of life. My aim with these podcasts is to get useful, targeted information to single mums wherever you are and whatever you're doing. I hunt down experts in the subjects that matter to single mums and I ask the questions that I think you want to know the answers to. The information being shared in my free podcast can save you time, money, and a whole lot of worry. And it is now my pleasure to introduce today's podcast guest, Michael Zupa. Now, Michael is a man with many strings to his bow. He's a martial arts teacher, personal trainer, and diet consultant, as well as having a background in Chinese medicine and kinesiology. I actually heard about Michael through a lady on my Facebook group, The Single Mum Vine. Now, this lady has a strong history of being bullied in her family and was going through a very hard time with her son being bullied to the point of pulling him out of school. And it was around this time that there had been several posts on the group about bullying, and I felt it was something that needed to be discussed. Michael had a big part in helping this lady I was chatting to, so I got his details and I decided that his expertise would be really helpful and worth sharing. I also checked out a brilliant article Michael had written on Elephant Journal, which is when I discovered his realistic self-defense bullying approach, and I didn't waste any time on inviting him to be a guest on my podcast. So here you are. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
That's okay. And we were just saying before I hit the record button that you're my very first male guest on the Beanstalk Single Mum podcast series. So I hope you feel honoured.
I'm definitely honoured and I hope I can live up to the expectations.
I'm sure it will be fine. I think probably the only difference will be when I have another lady on, we just chat and I have to squeeze everything in at the end because we can't stop talking. So you might make it a bit more controlled.
But yes, men and women do communicate quite different.
We do. We're different in many ways, which is good because it would be boring otherwise. Look, just going back to the article that I mentioned in Elephant Journal, I had a read of that. And by the way, it was a brilliantly written article, and I will have a link of it on my podcast on my website so people can go through and have a look at that. But what interested me was that you have been on both sides of the fence when it comes to bullying. You were bullied as a young child, so turned to martial arts as self-defense, but this then gave you a sense of power which you love to exert in the form of bullying. Would you say that it's this journey that's given you such an insight into why people bully?
Yeah, the experience I had of being an aggressor was not conscious. I didn't realize that I was using power to create dominance, you know, and that's a very masculine social hierarchy thing is, you know, who's more dominant and who's the runt of the litter. And we're kind of always calculating that stuff when we deal with each other. And I know women do as well, but it's probably a little bit more subtle than girls do.
Like we were saying, men and women are very different.
Women have a little class about it. Men are very blatant.
Yeah, interesting. We'll go into that later on because it is quite different the way bullying forms with men and women, actually, isn't it? But but look, I'll go into the questions that I've got for you. And the first one may sound really simple, but I think it's a very important one. In fact, it's the starting point for this issue and something that we need to be clear on. So can you explain to us exactly what bullying is?
Well, I think that it's subjective. In the example I was just giving about myself not being aware of it, that actually uses the model of the drama triangle, which is the victim, the aggressor, and the rescuer. So I thought I had this moral superiority and that I was defending downtrodden and stuff, which you see a lot in social justice. But, you know, in a way, people can take that dynamic and use it to become an aggressor and just think that they're justifying, you know, a hostile behavior, that it's, no, this is reasonable for me to be hyper-aggressive and furious because, and the justification is really just an excuse to express that anger that we have in our bodies. In the Chinese system, we say anger's in the liver and in the heart. So we're desperate to express the emotions that are stuck in our bodies, and we come up with an excuse to vent them and justify it. And actually, you're just enjoying releasing toxins from your body, you know?
And you're releasing them onto somebody else, I guess.
Exactly.
When you do it in the form of bullying. And there is this real thing, isn't there, with justification that we all do every single day, probably more or less every minute of the day. I was watching a program about lying on Netflix the other night, and it was saying how people, lying or stealing and things like that. And it was saying that if people might do something at work or take something from work, but they justify it with something really little and it's done within a split second in their brain. So they think, oh, I'm going to print my own stuff off on the printer, but it's okay because I did an extra couple of minutes work over my lunch break. And those justifications that you talk about, they take a split second in the mind, don't they?
And we'll perform whatever mental gymnastics are required to get away with certain behaviours, I think.
So would you say that bullying is a natural instinct that we're all born with?
Ooh, that's quite a question. I think that, going back to what the definition is, I would say that it's, you know, bullying's in the eye of the victim, perhaps, but also that sometimes that innate social posturing that just happens when you're face to face with another person and you sort of innately go, am I the leader and am I protecting you, or are you the leader and are you protecting me? And then, can I trust you to protect me, is like this unwritten dialogue that we're sort of constantly analyzing, because you can't just say it out loud. You can't just go, am I the leader or are you the leader?
you can when you're three.
True. I wonder what age that drops off. We'll start, be subtle about it.
I might try it and see if I can get away with it when I next go into work. So really, what you're saying is that it's something that just happens naturally. But I suppose that the bullying side of it is when it kind of manifests itself and it comes out in a form where it is hurtful to somebody or physically hurting somebody. So it's just gone a step too far, but it is something that we do every day with all the people that we meet and communicate with.
I think in a school environment, it becomes a much more serious issue if it's ongoing and if it's hindering people's ability to learn and study, and if it's causing like enough trauma that people don't want to go to school, because there's, you know, there's statistics about, I think it's 65% didn't want to go to school and 15% told someone, and then the rest of them didn't tell anyone. And, you know, when it becomes an issue of people getting through their day, I think it's different to just someone's like, I don't like how that person behaves, it makes me uncomfortable, or they said a joke that triggered something from my past, I feel bullied in this moment. And it's, you know, then there's a bit of, I don't want to say wiggle room, because that's sort of not appropriate, but some people can be too sensitive, I think, at times, and that's not exactly the fault of the person in front of you, who probably doesn't mean to upset you sometimes.
So it's people's perception, isn't it, really?
And then I think if someone is upset in a situation like that, that's not really on purpose, and you know, they've got a bit of a soft spot, and then they tell the person and you say, look, I'm really upset about what you said. It gives them a chance to apologize and show that I'm not intentionally bullying you. But that requires like the confidence to say, excuse me, my feelings were hurt during that situation, which requires a degree of bravery that not everyone's necessarily in touch with. So,
And especially kids.
I think, Yeah, definitely. Oh, don't have the dialogue. Children don't have the dialogue to say these things, you know?
And I guess bullying is when it's ongoing as well, because you can hurt somebody unintentionally, as you say, and you can even sometimes get by without apologising, as long as you don't do it again. But bullying is when people just keep doing it over and over again. They almost find that spot and they quite like that they've found it, and they keep scratching at it and making it worse. But we're just talking about kids, so it leads on nicely to my next question, which is that when we all think of bullying, that is what we think of, don't we? We think of kids in school playgrounds. But unfortunately, bullying goes on a lot further than the confines of the schoolyard. So can you just tell us a little bit about the types of bullying and what forms it can take?
Well, in the article that you mentioned, which was a child psychology profiling thing, for those who haven't read it yet, it sort of outlines that we become the personalities that we're going to be for the rest of our lives before the age of 7 in the schoolyard, when we're sort of sussing out the dominance hierarchies and stuff. So the two major bullies that I specify in that article are the sort of popular jock, which is the dominant social hierarchy style bullying, where people maintain their social status by sort of picking on the runts, on the nerds, and you know, they sort of maintain their coolness by laughing at the people who aren't cool, and that's the thing. And then the other one that's a bit more subtle and can also fit into this thing about subjective, you know, I feel hurt, so I feel justified in retaliating. This is the more neurotic personality that's like, well, no, well, they're excluding me, so I'm going to be really mean to them because that's fair. And this kind of two wrongs make a right mentality. And these people usually don't realize that they're bullies. They don't realize that they're sarcastic, negative comments are actually hurting the feelings of the people around them, or they justify it with the mental gymnastics and go, no, but I feel excluded, so I'm gonna stick a picture of that person on the website or on, you know, a Facebook thing, and put a comment that's, you know, gets under their skin, and they don't see it as bullying.
And it's, would you say it's a form of emotional abuse, that type of bullying?
Yeah, definitely. And some people aren't a fan of that kind of terminology, but I think that that's, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. And you know, some people throw it around a little bit loosely, which is why the term's not very popular, but I think, you know, people can be very emotionally abusive in a marriage, and that is ongoing. You know, we've used the word ongoing a few times, and then not having the strength of character to go, I need to get out of this relationship, but I'm in love with this person, or, you know, or I rely on this person. And more men are coming forward and saying, I've been in this relationship for that many years where I can't imagine living without my wife. But, you know, she's completely lost interest in me as a human being and is just, you know, venting emotions or whatever. I'm not saying men don't do that, because clearly they do. And I'm sure most of the women listening have got some experience of that. But it is becoming, it's becoming more of a safe world for men to come forward and say that they're also experiencing these things from their partners.
Yeah, and that's a great thing, isn't it, that can happen, because we all talk about physical abuse, which is, I mean, when we, it's interesting with the two answers that you gave then of the two different types of bullying. To me, it doesn't fit into these boxes, but I definitely see the first one that you're talking about is more of a physical type of bullying. Not necessarily always physical, as in hurting people, but more open. They're more open about being bullies. You know, they make it clear that they're out there and this is what they do, and they're top of the tree and all this. Whereas the other ones that you're talking about, they are a little bit more sly and underhand with their bullying. So possibly in some ways, even scarier.
Definitely. And the scariest thing is not realizing, you know, thinking that you're rescuing someone, but actually it's just an excuse to be violent, or that, you know, well, they're the cool kids, so they're not going to be affected by the things that I say. So, well, your mum's an alcoholic. And it's like, dude, don't say that in public. That's horrible.
But yeah, there's a lot of power behind that, isn't there? Even though it's only a few words. And also, I think people often, when they're bullying that way, they perhaps don't realize, you know, again, they're justifying that they're okay to do what they're doing. And it might sometimes take somebody else to sit them down and say, look, hold on, have a think about how you're making people feel with the things that you're doing. And, you know, I know even myself, when I was writing an article about emotional, something to do with emotional abuse, and so, you know, you start thinking of yourself and you think back to things that you've done and you think, guys, you know, really, I shouldn't have done that, because that was, you know, that wasn't very nice. But at the time, I had no intention, but you know, I justified that what I was doing was okay. So yeah, so there are different types of bullies, and it's certainly not just the ones that go around thumping people in the playground.
There's another thing that I like to use, another model that I use that I'm sure listeners will connect with, is the difference between a man being creepy in their advances and, you know, playfully, cheekily flirting is the ability to respond. And this is also prevalent in a bullying dynamic, is if someone's teasing someone and they don't respond and then they keep bullying them, You're not paying attention to how that person feels, right? So the same with romantic advances. That can also involve a degree of teasing and cheekiness that creates a bit of a tension. But if you're just saying stuff or just sending someone messages on whichever website and they're not responding and it's not a back and forth like dance, then it's uncomfortable. Then it's one person just throwing material at another person. It's a dominance, it's a power thing, right? So the subtlety of when that person responds and you see how they respond and then it's a game, that really changes the definition of the interaction. Is one person just happening to another, or are we both sort of playfully teasing each other, or, you know, are we changing the next part of the conversation based on what on how the person responded, you know?
It's quite
complicated. Do you know what I'm getting at?
I know exactly what you're getting at, and I can imagine it's quite complicated, because it isn't that easy, is it, to say, you know, to put somebody in the wrong for bullying, because there's a lot to it, and it depends on quite a few dynamics and the relationship between the people involved.
Yeah,
oh my goodness. It's all sounding, when you think of the schoolyard and the teachers trying to deal with the kids, and it's not as simple as such and such is bullying me. There's so much more to it, isn't there? And that's why schools find it really quite difficult, I think, to handle it. But look, as we're talking to single mums here, I would imagine that most of the concerns that they have, and I know that I have, is the possible bullying of our own children. And it's interesting to know that girls and boys bully differently. So can you just explain how their style, for want of a better word, of bullying differs?
I've got a couple of quite good examples, and I've got some popular and unpopular solutions to common styles.
Just remember, this is a bunch of ladies listening.
Yes, that's true. Well, there was an incident where and these two girls are best friends, by the way. They're best friends in inverted commas. And one of them regularly would say to the other one, "Oh, the principal wants to see you." And that was her little button that she would push. And then the girl who was the victim of the bullying would not say anything and would just get uncomfortable and upset. And the other one would be like, and that was her little joke, right? And the neuropsychology, there's parts of the brain that light up when you see another person suffering at your hands. There's a part of you that goes, yeah, I'm the winner. Yeah, I'm the dominant one.
Wow.
So even at that age, these five-year-old girls, it's like, you're scared of the principal, and then would run off and, you know, go off and keep playing and have that little boost of chi, if you will, this Chinese theory. Another example is, you know, with the boys sort of posturing, and particularly when you got three guys ganging up on one guy and going like, you know, look at you with your whatever, you know, and just putting him down, making him feel inferior to this collective, right? Then they go and they try to tell, and because it's like a female-dominated world, the teaching and stuff, they sort of say, "I'll go and ignore them, just ignore them," right? Because that's how women affect each other. It's like if you give a girl the silent treatment, she's like, "Whoa, What have I done? Oh no, I've got to figure this out. Oh, she's upset with me or whatever. But boys don't really respond to that. It's like, well, he's not talking. That means I can keep annoying him. You know what I mean? He's not standing up for himself. So,
yeah.
So like the same thing that works for girls, it's like the opposite for boys. It's like, just ignore them. It's like, good. He didn't respond. That means I win. With the girls, it's like, oh, she's not talking. Oh, mm-hmm. I need to like rethink everything. You know, I got to check myself. So that's quite a distinction there.
And how would you, what would be your methods for dealing with those situations then?
Okay, for ongoing with a friend bullying, where it's something like that, that usually, that can go to a higher power. And this is why, you know, people like to believe in higher powers, and that is someone else who's higher up, who's not here all the time, can step in. Because that works with, you know, as the monkeys that we are, or lizard brains or whatever, we respond well to a higher power stepping in. So that kind of thing where a principal sits down and goes, you got to stop saying that because it's upsetting for your friend. And secondly, it's not true. I didn't say that she was supposed to come to the office. So you're lying as well. And this is making you look ridiculous. So a little bit of embarrassment there. Like, we don't like to use the word shaming, but the reason that we don't like to use the word shaming is because it's strong and it's heavy and it works, right? And for young boys who are posturing like that, the good old punch in the face is notoriously effective, right? Like, you know,
I don't want to condone it.
And you know, if I was a teacher, I'd be saying, you can't do that because it's against the law. And I regularly tell my students, I go, look, if you can't sort it out with your mouth, you've already messed up. If you can't discuss it with the person and for them to go, okay, you know, the line's been drawn and I need to respect that, you know, taking it to your fist is like, you know, you're way too far. You're way too far gone. Like, cool, drop out of school, go to a different school. Like, that's a better situation than going to this, taking it to this next level of violence where everyone gets in trouble, no one feels better afterwards. But same as the shaming, it works because it's painful. You know, if you have to punch a bigger kid in the face and then they beat you up with their mates, they still know, like that kid who bullied you, they still know that you're a force to be reckoned with. And you know, I did that a lot as a young kid and stuff. And it got me a lot of attention, which is part of the reason I became like a martial arts teacher and that I kept getting into fights as I got older. And that was, I was quite a shy and nice and quiet introverted kid, and then I had this ability to stand up for other people and to stand up for myself that just kind of happened very quickly and very dramatically, that I got a lot of attention. You know, young girls were like, oh, that's a bit, you know, that's a bit of a ride. He, you know, flies into action and stuff. So it became a part of my identity, and then that's what led to me then using it incorrectly later on and just like kind of looking for an excuse to get into a fight was the status and attention I got from it.
You then channeled it in. You've now channeled it into a much better energy with the martial arts, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah, and wellness and fitness, and you know, most people go on sort of a spiritual journey where they reach like a Zen outlook. But I've got a much more popular set of solutions for you, if you'd like them.
better than punching someone.
Yeah. Which does work. It's not cool, but it does work. One of the fundamental adult bullying scenarios is, and we're talking along the lines of, it's subjective bullying. I don't like that person. They make me feel uncomfortable. I don't like going to work because that person's there. Is trying to find some kind of a common ground. So what are the things that I do like about that person? What are the things that I do respect about that person? What's a genuine compliment that I can give them? And particularly if someone is berating you and just annoying you and upsetting you, if you can give them a genuine compliment as the beginning of a conversation, it's pretty hard for them to start teasing you from there. Like if you're just like, you know what, you're really good at what you do, they'll be like, oh, well.
Yeah, I like it. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's confusing. And one of the self-defense things is like, if someone comes up and asks you for money, you just go, nah, but do you know what the time is? And suddenly they're like doing you a favor,
yeah,
which is the next one.
You kind of wrong-footed them, haven't you? But in a very pleasant way.
Yeah, yeah. And see, they're expecting a certain reaction. They're expecting fear and submission. And instead, like, what they're getting is like, oh, we're on the same team. Like, we're both people trying to get through today. So they're like, give me some money because I need to buy heroin. And you're like, so I can't help you out with that, but can you tell me what time it is? Because I'm also a human trying to get through today, and I need to know what time it is because I need to be somewhere. And suddenly they're looking at their phone going, oh, it's 4 o'clock, you know. Oh, you probably make it if you... Do you know what I mean? Suddenly you're on the same team.
Yeah, yeah, that's a brilliant idea. And it's something that people wouldn't think of as well.
Oh, it's absolutely... The punch in the face is very intuitive, and justifying it is very intuitive, but the how can we be friends and on the same team is very counterintuitive.
I mean, the problem with the punch in the face, of course, is, you know, there's so many more implications to the results of that. And I know even I've got two little girls. I say little. They're 11 and 14 now. But my youngest, who is tiny and is still the tiniest in her class, used to get wound up by verbal comments from the eldest, even though they're quite close friends. But she got so wound up that she would lash out and she would bite, or she would put her nails in, or she'd kick or something. And it took me quite a few years of trying to explain, and it got to the point of, look, if you did this when you were older, you'd end up in a police cell. You're not allowed. Yeah. It doesn't matter what somebody says to you, that is not going to land you in a police cell. You mustn't do it. And there was no other way of trying to get it through. I mean, she doesn't now. She's a very gentle little soul now. But really, there's just the outcome of doing that could be quite huge, life changing, couldn't it?
Mm. That's a lecture that I regularly give the kids that come in, because they're between 6 and 12 is the younger classes. And we do an exercise where I get them to practice getting very angry, close their eyes and feel frustrated, or I'll have the little brother sit there while the big brother slaps him and berates him. And they have to breathe and remain calm. And one of the tricks I show them, it's a little bit smoke and mirrors, but because they're kids, they don't really question it, right? Where I'll go, check out if you breathe into your hand and you go, ha, see how it feels hot? And they're like, ha, ha. And they go, oh, that does feel hot. And I go, now blow on your hand like, and see how it's cold? And they're like, oh, that is cold. And I go, but see how it's air coming out of your body, right? And they're like, yeah, that is air coming out. Why is it hot and why is it cold? And I'm like, you can choose. You can choose whether you're hot or you're cold.
Yeah.
So if someone's making you upset, you can just, and you can cool down and you can be cool and not attack them back, and then you both get in trouble. And every child I've ever said this to always laughs when I say, you know how it's, you're just minding your own business and someone comes up and they annoy you and you're like, go away, shut up. And they're like, no, you shut up. No, you shut up. No, you shut up. I'll kill you. Yeah. They always think it's hilarious. They always are like, yep, so true. Escalation. Yep. I've not met a child who doesn't think it's funny. They're all like, yep, all the time, day in, day out, escalation.
Oh, that is,
and I think everyone
brilliant.
Knows what it's like.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I like that breathing thing as well, in that you're saying you've got a choice. You have a choice to make. It's up to you. And be the better person and make that choice, make the right one. So it's a great way to make kids realise that they're responsible, and they can diffuse it should they wish to. But an important issue with bullying is the response to it. And something that I was reading about a while ago was talking about the bystander. These being the people who watch the bullying take place. Now, what I had read is that apparently if the bystanders don't take action to stop the bullying, they themselves are classed as bullies. So what's your take on this?
I think that the courage thing, which I mentioned before, is massively underlooked in that. Like for jiu-jitsu, we have bystander techniques for if one person's sitting on top of another person, you can sort of do-si-do, hook them under the arm and pull them off and that. So there's actually bystander techniques to intervene. But if people don't know those techniques, nor are they fans of confrontation, nor are they good under pressure. Most people just freeze when something dramatic's happening. It's a paralysis. In the Chinese system, we say it's the bladder. Your bladder paralyzes and shuts down and you can't move. And quite often when we're being attacked or being harassed or being sexually harassed, we just freeze, you know, this fight or flight mechanism. It does not choose fight. It just causes us to shut down. So to expect everyone to intervene because that's the right thing to do, I think is really unrealistic, you know, and it's you know, being the henchman standing next to the bully and going, like, you do know better. And I've apologized to kids when another kid was beating them up or whatever, and I was like, sorry, I got caught up in the dark side of that interaction, and I apologize. I should have said something. But that's, you know, from a place of confidence and having strength of character to realize I'd done the wrong thing and be confident enough to apologize and to recognize what I'd done wrong. Like, not everyone has the luxury of having all those tools at their disposal. And I think a lot of people are just going to panic and not step in. So,
and they shouldn't take the blame. I suppose there is a little line there, isn't there? Because, like you say, standing next to the bullier, sort of laughing and egging them on, that is being a bully. That you're just not doing. Mm. You're just not the front line one. But standing there watching, and people don't want any trouble themselves, do they? We're all looking for an easy life. But it was interesting because I actually, after I'd read this, I remember talking to my eldest about it, and she's a very, very headstrong young lady who, if she channels her intelligence in the right direction, I think she'll do something amazing, because she's very set in her ways and very passionate. And she does not like seeing people being bullied. And she actually saw it happen at school. And this was only probably about 3 weeks ago. And she went to the office afterwards. She didn't, at the time, she didn't intervene with it happening, but she did go up to the office and reported it to one of the teachers. And she came home and said, I feel really, really good. She said, I was a bystander, and I went up to the office and I told them what happened. And I said, you did the right thing, because you didn't get involved with yourself and cause yourself trouble, but you have highlighted it, and now they can deal with it as they need to. So perhaps, you know, when you say the bystander, or not necessarily you, when other people say the bystander should react, they don't have to jump in there and then, but they can do something afterwards that will help diffuse or will just help the situation one way or another, speak to the right people.
Yeah, and even there was a thing where one of my girlfriends got followed by some guy, and luckily he'd sort of tried to scan his discount card at the checkout to get some attention and approval, and then followed her and her sister in a truck. He followed them. And luckily, you know, when she sort of came back and she was like, oh, this guy's following us. And I was living at the martial arts gym that I was running at the time. And so I like unscrewed the weights of a dumbbell and was standing out the back with this bar waiting for, you know, her to lead this man to the gym. And so I could beat him up with this iron bar. Right? But of course, they lost him in the transit, and she came and she was upset. And I said, do you have the receipt? Because if he scanned his discount card, we'll be able to get him. So we went to the cops, and they looked at the receipt, and they managed to find him, and he got in trouble. And they said, look, this guy's actually a bit of a creep. Like, he's a bit of a stalker. Like, and they said, this is good, because other people have noticed him doing weird stuff. They reported it. You guys have brought this information forward. We might actually be able to put something together now, because he's been dobbed on 2 or 3 times for little things, right? And, you know, he said serial rapists and stuff, they don't just become rapists overnight. They follow a couple of people, they get comfortable with stalking, and then they get into a violent altercation that maybe doesn't go very well for them, and then they go, oh, next time I'm going to have to do this. And they sort of, it gradually gets worse and it gradually escalates over time. But if you can cut off things before they get out of hand with a little bit of dobbing, and, you know, the authorities sort of knowing what's going on, and a case history on that particular individual or even a kid, you know, we can cut it off before their brains are fully formed to include this kind of personality construct, then this is good. Like, so any little bit of information that you can do, you know, stuff like that, I think that's brilliant, actually.
Yeah, it is. And in that particular case, for you, far more successful outcome than the piece of gym equipment that you were holding to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's a really good example of, you know, it turned out for you the best way, didn't it? I mean, I guess you gain so much more by going to the police and doing that than you would have by beating him up when he came to the gym, you know, because it's moved into the hands of people who can do something more effective.
True, and possibly, you know, he wouldn't have learned from that. You know, it might have made me, myself and my girlfriend at the time feel better that he was frightened of us, but he might not necessarily have been frightened of his own behavior, you know? So,
well, he could have even seen himself as a victim and used that as an excuse to do something further. But then we're going down a deep, dark road here, so...
The aggressor, the rescuer becomes the aggressor. Yeah,
exactly. Mm. Yeah, that's how it happens, isn't it? But not always on such big levels. So, is there anything that you can recommend to us by way of programs, courses, or other resources that we can tap into to understand a bit more about bullying and its effect and how to prevent it? I mean, you've told us a lot, but if people are thinking, I just want to get a bit more information, where can they go?
One of the best programs I've seen is the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Bully Proof Program. So Gracie Jiu-Jitsu is a worldwide organization. I'm a member of the Australian faction. We report directly to Torrance in California, and they come down here, and some of our people go over there. But the bullyproof program that they do is very, very basic jiu-jitsu, so a four-year-old can do it. I'm not great at teaching kids under four unless, like, one of the siblings is there to help me control them. The Kung Fu Master told me don't teach anyone under six, but broken that rule a few times. Anyway, bullyproof. So the bullyproof program is actually a lot of verbal self-defense skills for small children, because they just don't have the dialogue to come up with a snappy comeback when someone's victimizing them.
Oh, God, give me an example of a snappy comeback for a young child.
Exactly. Well, one of the scenarios I saw my current instructor doing with the kids was one kid goes, I want to listen to Taylor Swift. And the other one goes, Taylor Swift. And these kids are acting this out. They're wearing their kimonos and they're just acting out these little verbal scenarios. So one kid goes, Taylor Swift. And then the first kid's supposed to go, whatever, I like Taylor Swift, I'm going to listen to it, and walks off. So actually giving them the skills to deal with that situation so they don't have to deal with this fight or flight response. I didn't know what to do. I was upset. I felt victimized. I went home and told my parents. My parents said, just ignore them, and it didn't go anywhere. And then the next day you go back and you have to look that person in the eyes and go, I didn't like how that interaction went, and I don't have the skills to deal with this.
Yeah, so they're standing up for themselves, aren't they? Standing, you know, I like Taylor Swift, you know, so
yeah.
What?
Too bad. It's conviction.
That's something that's so good to learn, because my 14-year-old is starting to encounter people who are smoking and all this now, and she has mentioned to me that people are saying to her, oh, do you smoke? And she feels stupid saying that she doesn't, which is crazy in this world. I thought that would have all changed, but obviously not when they're trying to be young and cool. And, you know, and she actually did pretend that she did smoke, and then she got caught out because they knew that she didn't. And she came back and she felt really miserable and upset with how it had gone. And I said, well, you know, next time be prepared, because you don't have to feel guilty for not smoking. You should feel proud for not smoking. Just say you're a surfer. And she said, yeah. She said, well, and then it actually happened at the weekend. She said, oh, I told them I love surfing. And I've also got sports asthma, which we think she might have, but we haven't had diagnosed. And I said, but just, yeah, that's fine. I said, if that makes that's you good. Feel comfortable. I said, but remember, you don't need to make excuses. You stand by it. And, you know, if you like Taylor Swift, good for you, you know? If you don't smoke, good for you. It's about having confidence in themselves and not feeling that they must fit in because somebody else doesn't think it's cool, which is very easy for us to say, but it is harder for kids, isn't it?
Definitely. And it's whatever makes you feel confident. If you just go, no, I don't smoke because I'm not a loser, and that makes you happy, and that's cool. But if
it's cool to be different.
But if you want to have a little backstory that's an excuse so that they go, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Nah, sports, smoking, no, those things, they don't mix. Cool, I understand. If you want to have that in your pocket, then, you know, whatever works for you.
Yes, exactly. It's just something that helps. Now, I've just got a couple more questions for you, just with some bits for us to take away. I always like our mums to be able to take something away from these chats that we have. So as I've already mentioned, I have two daughters, and when it comes to playground politics, there is always a drama. If it's not one, it's the other. And as a mother, there's nothing more heart-wrenching than the thought of other kids being unkind to our own. So what would you suggest are the first steps that we should take if we suspect that our child is being bullied at school or elsewhere?
I think it's very tempting to step in, especially when it's affecting you emotionally. But that's part of the problem with some of these things is, like, kids are going to work it out on their own. And if it's sort of resolved for them, it's not necessarily resolved. So sometimes you got to check yourself, right? And that's very difficult, but, you know, it's the same. You're breathing hot or cold, you know. Maybe I need to cool off because this isn't about me. This is about my kid figuring out where they fit in, and I need them to resolve it on their own. And if they can't, then maybe, you know, there's some other stuff you can do, like building their self-esteem. So whether it's martial arts and they're like, I could punch that person in the face, but I'm not going to, but I feel like I can, so that makes me feel strong. Or even just the for psychology, we call it self-efficacy expectancy, is like your self-esteem and confidence in being able to perform any sort of task. So the opposite of being helpless and, oh, it's probably not going to work, and the cynical view of things, being like, yeah, I'm good at stuff. I'm good at everything. So when someone tries to mess with you, you're just like, nah, my self-esteem is too high for that person to just come over here and start messing with my self-esteem. It's like, that is clearly an act of insecurity, which means I'm the superior one in this interaction. So not responding actually reaffirms my social status, you know? So building their self-esteem to a point where they're unshakable, I think is the goal for, and not just for children, but for adults as well, is that you don't have a bad day because of someone else, because you're just winning and you're happy and you know that you're good at what you're good at and you're doing the things you want to do. And someone coming along and just being in a bad mood in front of you, you're just like, oh, that's a shame. Good luck with that, buddy. And you just get on with your day, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean. And I think that's often what I say to my girls is, you know, you have to remember what your own values are, and you have to stick with those rather than lower yourself to somebody else's while they're in a bad mood. Always refer back to what you think is the right thing. And then whatever happens, you're going to come home and you're going to sleep at night knowing that you did the right thing. But it's hard, again, with kids, isn't it? You know, even as adults, it's very difficult to shrug things off sometimes. And depending on the kind of day that we've had and the things that have led up to that situation, somebody can just come along and say something, and it just, you know, it's so difficult to deal with it. But really what you're saying is, you know, just talk to your kids and get them to feel good about themselves, remind them of the wonderful people that they are, and just to hold on to that while they're going through a difficult situation at school.
Absolutely. And if they have to change schools or they have to change classes or whatever, I think that's worth doing. You know, don't dilly-dally around it if it's gotten to the point where it's not working, you know.
Yeah.
If you're flogging a dead horse, you need to admit when you're defeated sometimes. And I mean, it's hard with romantic arrangements as well, where you're like, nah, but I love this person, you know, like, I didn't mean to get into a relationship with this person. I didn't know they were going to be like this. And I didn't know that we'd stop loving each other and stop being kind to each other. But sometimes you just got to put all your stuff in the car and go, this isn't getting any better. And I don't know how to fix it. And they don't know how to fix it. And we're just going around in circles, and they're not good circles. Not good for my kids, not good for my family having to hear about it. My best friend's sick of hearing about it. You know, you just got to cut your losses sometimes. And it's the hardest thing in the world, and bravery comes in many forms. And I think quitting when you're done, tapping out before you get choked out, it's a skill, you know, it's a life skill.
Yeah, it is. And it is very hard to do. It's not necessarily running away as a lot of people would see it. And I think that in going back to the schoolyard situation, again, if the bullying is that bad, then it can actually distract the schooling and the schoolwork, which then has this ongoing effect. And they take it, and not only do they struggle to study and come out perhaps with lower grades, but then they come out of school feeling terrible because they've been bullied throughout school. And then that is often a habit that can carry on into the workplace. So, yeah, I mean, like I say to my two girls when they argue, take a break from each other. Just have a break. So sometimes if that space is something as drastic as moving schools or moving classes, you know, there is no shame in it.
Definitely.
So my final question, and it kind of follows on from the previous one, as I love my mums to take away actionable support from these podcasts. So on the other side of the coin, if we suspect our child might be involved in bullying or is a bystander who's standing a bit too close to the bully, what are the first steps we should take to deal with that issue?
For someone who's like a henchman bully, I think you can touch on, how do you feel about hanging around that person? Are you hanging around them because you want to, or are you sort of scared of them turning on you? Because that's quite a mirror you hold up to them. Like, yeah, I'm hanging around them because they're tough or they're cool, or, you know, they're mean to me sometimes as well, so I'm just on their side, which happens a lot, especially with girls. It's like, we all have to keep the alpha girl happy because otherwise she doesn't invite you, or she says stuff to the other girls about you, so we've got to keep her on side. But I really believe in martial arts because I've watched that many people, like their body language, their tone of voice, completely transform in like 3 or 4 sessions, where suddenly their boyfriend starts treating them well, they get a raise at work, they threaten to quit, they threaten to leave him, and just, it's amazing what happens. When you're standing, like, you know how to protect yourself and you know how to defend yourself, people can see that and they just don't bully you because they're like, this isn't exactly the weak power trip dynamic that I was looking for, so I'm going to move on to the next person. And hopefully you're standing with your strong body language to protect the next person as well. But it's definitely a massive factor, and I've seen it time and time again in people just having that physical confidence because it is hormonal, like having that release and that, like, that socially acceptable arena to unleash aggression. And with this, you know, with this idea that there's bad guys and I'm learning to protect myself from the bad guys, that happening in your body has a huge effect on how you behave socially.
Yeah. And is it do you have as many girls as you do men in your martial arts classes?
There's probably more, actually, like the more private lessons are with girls and stuff. And I think that the socially acceptable arena to be a really wild woman is like, you know, you try to keep it behind closed doors kind of thing. And if you have a bit of a public eruption, everyone's like, oh, she's crazy, and sort of can get labeled crazy quite quickly. So women sort of keep that that wild anger under wraps. But being able to inflict it on the pads or being able to throw someone on their back, it's like, and for that to be celebrated and to be championed in you, I think it's really good for the soul. I think it's really good.
It's a good release, isn't it? My daughter started doing boxing, and as a teenager, I think it's great to go and let it all out with a boxing pad. You know, anything like that, where you can just let some energy out and just go for it in an acceptable manner.
But healthy, look, so healthy.
It is healthy. Look, we've come to the end of our time, and I do feel pretty well educated on the topic of bullying right now, which has got to be a good thing. So, Michael, can you just talk us through what you're currently doing in this field? What lines up? What you've got lined up for the future, and where my lovely single mums who are listening can find you?
Oh, that would be lovely. Well, my website is deadlymoves.com.au. I'll say it again towards the end. I'm sure you'll write it on the.
I will. I'll pop it onto. Yeah, I'll put it onto my website so people can click straight through.
But I'm looking to, in the next year, get qualified as one of the Gracie instructors, because I do teach some of the stuff that they teach, but to be a qualified Gracie Bulletproof instructor and to be able to do the basic self-defense syllabus. So I'll be on the worldwide register of Gracie teachers alongside my current mentor. So that will be good. And then I can sort of do that verbal self-defense stuff more formally and internationally recognized. So that will be good.
That's excellent.
I've also written a book, which I've got some interest from a publisher in Cambridge, but nothing's setting in concrete yet. It's still set in plasticine, but hopefully the book comes to fruition. It's not a nonfiction book. It's a autobiography about getting through adolescence and becoming sober. I've been sober for many years and don't smoke or anything anymore. But there's fighting and there's girls and all of that stuff that we go through in our teens. So there's a pre-order thing on the website, but hopefully that's out in the next year. And if you're a fan, it'd be lovely if you bought it.
Yeah, and I wondered if you were going to or had written a book, because the article on Elephant Journal, which I would recommend people to read, is just so well written. I was engrossed in it. I loved reading that article, so I would be very interested in the book as well. You've got a lovely way with words.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's lovely of you to say that.
Look, what you're doing is wonderful. There are so many ways to reach out and help people, and you're using your skills, your education, and most importantly, your life experience to offer invaluable support and education to people who are being bullied. It's a worthwhile cause indeed. So thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to share your knowledge with me and my single mother tribe. It's lovely to have you here. And thank you, single mums, for listening. The fact that you're still here suggests you may have been affected by bullying at some point. Please make sure you reach out for help. Pretty much everyone has been bullied in some form in their lives, and this doesn't make it right. Be part of the masses that say no to bullying and teach your kids who will teach their kids and create a bully-free tomorrow. Until next time, ladies, goodbye.